So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye is in Marshfield, and we're doing a Newsmakers interviews with Republican Representative Rob Swearengin of Rhinelander. And I'm so curious about this Special Legislative Council Study Committee, which, give us the full name. It has alcohol in it, but what's the name of the study committee?
It is the Legislative Study Committee on Alcohol Enforcement.
Okay, I have so many questions, because my understanding is that this Legislative Council Committee was started after Senator Fitzgerald introduced 801, which would call for what with the Department of Revenue?
So there was some discussion through Senator Fitzgerald's bill afterwards. I should set the stage on
please do.
On what a study committee is.
Yes.
So at the end of each session, a legislative session, leadership from both houses, the legislative joint legislative council, get together and they canvass all the lawmakers to see what issues were either unresolved or something that is clearly a problem or something that wasn't properly put to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of that came 9 different study committees. The one that I got asked to chair was the one on alcohol enforcement.
Okay.
And so near the end of session, as you recall, there was an effort by Senator Fitzgerald and others to come up with what they called the alcohol czar.
Alcohol czar.
Right.
In the Department of Revenue.
Correct. So the theory was to kind of sort of remove the Secretary of the Department of Revenue and then create this position where this person would have oversight rights of the governor.
Okay.
And there was a lot of... I would argue maybe the bill wasn't ready for prime time.
Yep.
I think the concept was good at the time, but there was a lot of caveats and a lot of stuff inside of it that really kind of tanked it at the end.
Well, just to clarify, Rob, were special interest groups, were the wholesalers and retailers and the local officials, were they frustrated not getting answers from the Department of Revenue? So why does Senator Fitzgerald think a czar is needed?
Yeah, so actually, if we move beyond the Fitzgerald proposal and move into the study committee,
please,
that is exactly why it was formed. There is a thought or a problem that the legislature has identified within the alcohol industry, that there is an ongoing frustration with the Department of Revenue in terms of how they enforce Chapter 125, which are the Wisconsin alcohol laws. And so there is a division in the Department of Revenue that takes care of alcohol enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There was some frustration among industry players between all three of the tiers, the manufacturer tier, the wholesaler tier, and the retailer tier, that they weren't getting consistent answers. They weren't getting their issues addressed. And so that's what kind of spawned this committee, along with Senator Fitzgerald's bill. So first thing we did is had the Secretary of Revenue in for a couple hours and discussed what was going on with the department. I'm happy to say that after that initial conversation with the Secretary, he came back to us again 2 months later, which was just last month.
Right.
And as a result of this, what the committee did with this the Secretary, the department is responding. They've changed some of the information on their website. They are talking very much about doing a restructuring of their alcohol enforcement section. They haven't really asked for any resources in terms of any new agents, although that is something that was discussed along the lines with the committee. So I think we've made a small impact already with the Department of Revenue. Of course, now we're getting into the new budget cycle. Remains to be seen how quickly some of this can be implemented. But as a legislator, I'm kind of excited that the department has responded this quickly, and that I look forward to working with them, moving forward, and hopefully we can accomplish something.
But as I have loosely monitored your committee, your council, this Leg Council committee, local government officials, aren't clerks, haven't they expressed some concern about not being able to get answers out of DOR?
Yeah, they sure have.
So you have industry groups, right, and clerks all bringing their concerns to your committee.
Correct. And for clarification, the committee only has four legislators on it.
Right.
We've got myself, Senator Johnson. Senator Dan Fine is my vice chair.
Representative Zamarripa.
Correct.
Yes.
And so the rest are the other 11 then are made up of industry outsiders or insiders, I should say, or
right.
Folks from around. So. So the municipalities have expressed some concern and some frustration with the department as well, and I was very happy that Secretary Chandler came back and is willing to open a channel. He is talking also about the term czar. I don't think really applies in this case, but he is talking about maybe somebody that would be more accessible to these people. And potentially maybe an alcohol attorney within that department.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some exciting stuff here, but nothing is set in stone. And so we'll see how we move forward after budget time.
Well, you've seen the study that said the impact of alcohol sales in Wisconsin, I think in 2016, was $7.92 billion, that there were 59,575 people whose jobs involved the sale of alcohol, and that wages paid people selling alcohol, along with their supplier and other industries, totaled $2.69 billion in wages and benefits each year. So this was the first estimate that I saw of the impact of alcohol sales on Wisconsin. And we in Wisconsin like some alcohol beverages at times. So has your committee then become a debate over the whole alcohol industry? Because the reason I ask is our alcohol industry, as you know, is regulated by this three-tier system.
Correct.
And the tiers are wholesalers,
manufacturer, wholesaler, retailer.
And that was adopted after Prohibition ended.
Correct.
In the 1930s.
Right, correct.
Well, is that still a model for 2018? Rob?
It really is, and you can argue that part of the success of those numbers are because of the current three-tier system in the state of Wisconsin. It's not the best example of across the nation, but it's kind of the best of the worst, and Wisconsin has been doing it for a long time, like you indicated, just after Prohibition. So, this committee has been, and keep in mind that the scope is narrow, right? We're just talking about really but four things. We identified three initially, but the fourth one just came to light recently. The first one was the Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And how they do their enforcement. The second one was an issue that lied within the Department of Justice and the Department of Revenue in terms of there was an informal opinion that came out of the Attorney General's office a while back that allowed, the thought was that wineries were allowed to serve beer on tap as well as their product in their tasting room. But then there's a second doorway caveat to it. It's very confusing, and that informal opinion also kind of flew in the face of three-tier.
Okay.
And so that there's a lot of confusion with that opinion. So part of the task is maybe to address that.
Well, I was going to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
So you were given a charge of initially to look at, I'm going to go back to using the term czar, is
yep.
needed. But now you've gotten into these other larger issues that raise a question of whether the old model, three-tier, still should it be changed, should it be modified? But you just said you think it still works with some exceptions?
It does, and
do
over the years...
Do we need to tweak it?
Well, over the years, it's been tweaked quite a bit. There's a lot of exceptions
a lot
to
of
the,
exemptions.
To the three-tier, yeah. Typically, you can't, within three-tier, you're not really allowed to cross-tier. So if you're a manufacturer, you can't be a retailer. If you're a wholesaler, you can't be a manufacturer.
Is that part of the Tight House argument?
Yeah, right. So that goes back, goes back when we use beer companies. That's a great example. Back in after Prohibition, if Pabst or Miller would come into your tavern
mm-hmm.
and provide all the refrigeration, for instance, or build the bar,
yep.
Then you were a tied house to
Miller
or Pabst. So you'd walk in, there might be an M above the door. You know which house, which product you're going to be drinking in that place. So the third thing that's
not allowed, correct?
Correct. That's right. That's
okay.
not allowed.
Yeah.
That's what three-tier and tied house, all that went away because obviously the breweries had a whole heck of a lot more money than anybody else back in the day and continue. So the third thing was unlicensed venues, most typically referred to as wedding barns. That's our third task. And then the fourth one that just cropped up was internet wine sales. People shipping in wine that aren't registered by the state of Wisconsin to do so, and thereby avoiding sales tax. So that is the fourth concept that we have been working on.
Internet wine sales. Is that a have you seen stats? Is it a growing part?
Yeah, it is. So Wisconsin is has a unique concept when it comes to buying wine anywhere, and we use California as a great example. You have to be permitted by the state of Wisconsin to ship into the state. But nobody really checks on the permit.
Oh.
And it's very hard to enforce. So if you were able to get some wine in from a California vineyard and it didn't come with sales tax attached to it for Wisconsin, you are obligated as the purchaser to disclose that on your income tax report.
And anybody doing that?
No. So that's a pretty unique concept for the state. So,
have you seen figures, internet wine sales to Wisconsin dramatically growing?
They're out there, and along with just illegal alcohol shipments in general. I mean, you're not allowed to be shipping in a bottle of Jack Daniels or a bottle of wine or a bottle of vodka, but clearly that is going on. Matter of fact, one of the members of the committee actually did that on purpose to present these to the committee, and it was pretty dramatic.
Wine shipped from out of state,
yep,
that no sales tax had been paid on.
Correct.
Have you heard any estimates from DOR on the possible loss of GPR taxes on that?
I haven't seen the final figures or the figures, but we took a gentleman from Illinois that addressed us last month, and he was involved directly in how Illinois handled that issue with their state.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he said their numbers went up 10%. So it could be quite dramatic.
Is this a loophole that has to be closed?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. So the Department of Revenue, and you could argue it's their fault, but really it's very hard to enforce something like this. So they would typically act on a complaint. And so what we need to do is develop some software, get some software that we can get out to these people where the sales tax is collected at the point of purchase and then remitted back to the state. And I think that software does exist. I think other states are probably using it, so Wisconsin needs to just jump on board. And we could be collecting some additional revenue, similar to the Wayfair decision. This could be dovetailed on, you know, that type of stuff. So
As I have listened to your committee, I haven't listened to it all, but you've had some pretty sharp exchanges. What's the source of the disagreements?
So the scope of the committee is what I try to stay focused on, and because we have an array of all the tiers on the committee, so we've got some craft beer guys, we've got some craft distillers on there, we've got some C stores, I've got a winery owner, we've got the Tavern League on there, we've got one of the former enforcement agents for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, Roger Johnson, is on there as well,
right,
who has been a real wealth of knowledge as well. Miller Coors is represented on there. So, and a beer distributor is represented. So everybody would, the initial thought with some of these people is that we were there to tackle Chapter 125, when that really wasn't the case. Our scope was very narrow, and we identified just those four things. So there is some frustration with the committee members. The committee has yet to take a vote, and yet I know that they've been in the press, some of the members have been in the press saying the committee is stacked or it's unfair, but really we haven't taken a vote.
One of the criticisms that you heard is that the Tavern League is overrepresented. You own a supper club.
Right.
You've got a liquor license.
Yep.
You're former president of the State Tavern League?
Correct.
And Pete Madlin, the
correct,
executive director of the Tavern League.
Right. Right.
So with all due respect, is your committee stacked in favor of the Tavern League?
I would argue no. Actually, the way I think is really ironic, and nobody really has said it, but there's also another coalition on there, too, with Bill Glass, with the Brewers Coalition, and the Guild, and also Evan Hughes with the distillers. They're part of a coalition, and I also believe that Sarah Botham is part of that coalition as well. So there's also another coalition on the committee, which I think is fine. To get their message out is fine as well.
So the coalitions, the Tavern League, and the other coalitions that you just
yeah,
outlined?
Yeah, the craft beer guys, craft distillers, and the wineries. Yeah.
And the wineries.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was just merely asked to chair the committee, I assume because of the decades of experience I have in the alcohol industry. I didn't pick the committee, and they asked me to chair it. I don't know who else they asked before me, and I don't know if I would have turned it down who they would have asked after me. But so I'm getting beat up for that a little bit, and that's fine.
Well, but the alcohol industry in Wisconsin looks nothing like it did when the three-tier system was set up, because now we have, as you've alluded to, you have craft breweries, mm-hmm, you have brew pubs, which is special license.
Yep.
We have wineries growing, and they Are they offering beer?
Yes, the answer is yes.
And is it legal for them to offer beer? Do we know?
Some think it is, some think it is not. So
we've had wedding barns.
Right.
You've
right.
had some testimony that right. some people have invested up to $500,000
yes.
in wedding barns.
Yeah.
Can wedding barns sell alcohol or provide alcohol for their... For their wedding celebrations?
Right. So there's two types of wedding barns, and we actually have had both sides testify. One side is the properly licensed that operate under alcohol laws in the state of Wisconsin, the Chapter 125. So they have gone through their municipality, got licensed, just like any other reception hall would do, so they can sell their beer and make money that way, beer and alcohol. Then you have this other fairly new business model where people are, I'll use a bride and groom because we're talking about wedding barns, can go to the local liquor store, the local Walmart, what have you, mm-hmm. and they would go in and buy liquor and spirits for their group of 200. Okay, they come back to the wedding barn, they just rent the facility, and then they give their alcohol away.
To their guests.
To their guests. They may not sell it. They can't sell it.
They cannot sell it.
They can give it away.
They can provide it as part of the celebration.
Right. So the barn is simply just renting a venue. And here's where the rub comes in. Even though it's a public place, it is now a private event.
Yes.
And so that's where the Department of Revenue is asking for some clearer definitions of public and private. Interesting, I just had a conversation with the Attorney General on this issue, and we were talking about the issue, and I'm going to follow up on this as well, too, but I believe that the Attorney General agrees that if you're going to be dispensing alcohol, whether you're giving it away or selling it, you need to operate under Chapter 125. So to be clear, these places have no opening hours, no closing hours, no licensed bartender, so nobody there is taking a responsible beverage server course. Right. Whether or not they recognize the statewide smoking ban, we don't know because it's a private event. We're not sure where the tax liability, where the sales tax liability goes with if you're renting a place. There's also an interesting caveat that came out of this too, is some of these operations are operating under the Department of Agriculture. So because they're a barn.
Who? Wedding barns?
Yeah, because if they're an actual barn, they're operating under the Department of Ag. And so there's kind of there's some ways around they can apply for a special use permit, which would give them 180 days to be exempt from codes.
Would they apply to the state or
to
their
the
local government,
local
municipality?
Yeah, so they have found a gray area or a loophole, but that part of it really is not the focus of our committee. Our committee is strictly the alcohol enforcement.
Yes.
So we, a lot of members on the committee, and actually I canvassed the committee at the end of the last meeting, and the overwhelming majority of the committee agrees that there's a problem here and agrees that these venues need to be properly licensed.
Are we talking here just narrowly about wedding barns or other venues?
It could be any venue. I mean, you could see a warehouse popping up, just an empty building, whatever the case may be. But if you're going to be advertising to the public that you are open for business, then you're going to be giving away alcohol or dispensing alcohol, whatever, you probably should be licensed under Chapter 125 or those guidelines.
Rob, another part of our liquor laws that are decades old are the quotas. Mm-hmm. And in many areas, there are quotas that are not used, and in other areas, there are quotas that you can't get a liquor license until somebody gives up theirs.
Right.
Is the quota system still relevant to 2018 Wisconsin alcohol sales?
And go back to the success of three-tier. So the answer, I believe, is yes. First of all, any of these venues can get a beer license right away. Beer is not part of the quota.
It's not part of the quota system.
Right. But yeah, you're right. Liquor licenses are at a premium in a lot of spots. We just passed a law last session that allowed a municipality to go to a contiguous municipality and buy an extra
yes.
license.
Adjoining.
So, as long as they're adjoining, and then so that venue could pick up that license. But yeah, it's a challenge. Here again, not the challenge of our committee, but certainly something that's out there. But they can all get beer.
What have you learned in the three or four meetings of the committee that concerns you in terms of, we had a system that was designed after Prohibition, mm-hmm. and now it's 2018. So what are the major concerns that you have about alcohol sales and how they're regulated in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and here again, I support the three-tier system. I really do. I think that the success of the explosion of the craft beer industry, wineries, craft distillery, all of that is under the success of the current three-tier system.
Does that threaten businesses like your supper club?
No, I don't think so. I think that you all welcome competition. I think that's it's great. That's free enterprise.
Okay,
that's great.
Okay,
but if you know, and we had, like I say, we had both sides of the barn issue. I had the properly licensed barn. One of the owners of the barn was crying. She was crying because they invested all this money in their properly licensed barn because the Department of Revenue told them that's what they had to do, and yet 3 miles down the road, an unlicensed venue opened up. And all those people shifted over because they can save money by not buying their cocktails or their beer by the individual glass.
Who regulates wedding barns? Both DOR and local government?
Yeah, and or DATCAP if they're under the DATCAP umbrella. And I will say this: some of these unlicensed venues are good players. They do have closing hours. They do try to get licensed bartenders because they have a huge investment.
Now, when you say unlicensed vendors, are you speaking narrowly about wedding barns?
Yeah. I mean, well, or any venue.
Any venue.
Right. Some of them are good players. I mean, these places are Cadillac places, beautiful places, but they're not required under Chapter 125. They're just doing it as good policy, which is a great start. But we think there's probably 250 to 300 of these barns across the state. And I think there's a lot of bad players out there as well. So I've heard horror stories of where they have partitioned off certain parts of the floor. You can't dance there in case you fall through.
Because that barn was not built for 200 people dancing.
Correct, yeah. And some of these new barns, of course, never had any livestock or chicken in them. I mean, they're specifically built for these types of events.
Okay.
So there's good players and bad players.
But I think I interrupted you. Go back to the concerns that you have learned chairing this committee.
Yeah, so the concerns have been big. Some of them have been unwarranted and overblown, too. Most recently, you've heard that, and this was the case with the bill that came through at the end of the last session, that we were going to shut down tailgating at Lambeau Field. Let me be clear. Nothing could be further or more ridiculous in the state of Wisconsin than shutting down tailgating at Lambeau Field or Brewers or the Milwaukee Bucks Arena.
Where did that element of fake news come from?
You know, they got into the bowels of some of this legislation and, you know, went and said it could be interpreted this way. Well, that is not and ever never was the case. We are not regulating private events. If you want to have your daughter's wedding at your house, you should do that, and you should bring in your alcohol. That's fine. And if you want to park on somebody's lawn and have a can of beer, across the street from Lambeau Field, you will still be able to do that. Most recently,
and if you want to tailgate at Friday's Brewers game,
which we both hope
they win,
yeah,
that's
right,
fine.
Exactly, right,
right,
yeah,
because you got your Brewers tie.
I got my Brewers tie.
Yeah, so
the most ridiculous one, and being from the Northwoods, is that I heard I was going to try to shut down deer camps because you have a place for people that congregate there and bring their own beer.
All this highlights
ridiculous.
How controversial this subject is.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
We in Wisconsin have a fondness for alcohol.
Right.
So
it's been regulated. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, Miller Brewing, for instance, if some of this stuff were to be let go, they have a great venue in Milwaukee. And so what if they brought in wine? And what if they brought in alcohol? I mean, that's what we're trying to regulate. Alcohol screams to be regulated. And the state of Wisconsin, we expect to be safe when it's being served. And not only just alcohol, but anything else that, you know, food-related or code-related. For our purposes, just alcohol. But there's been some sharp exchanges.
Yes. Well, you just said alcohol needs to be regulated. Do we need then a broader look at the entire industry? Because that's what some wanted to turn your committee into.
Right.
And you're not going to go there, are you?
No. The scope on the committee, as indicated earlier, is very narrow. So we're down to just those 4 points. And very honestly, Steve, I don't know that we're going to accomplish anything.
That was my next question.
Yeah, we have two more meetings because we have to be done by December. Okay. We have yet to take a vote. So we will meet again in November and in December more than likely. But I think what will come out of it is either some good creative juices flowing on something that we can help the Department of Revenue with, or some changes. I don't really see major changes coming in Chapter 125, but potentially something that could be addressed. But we're not trying to stifle competition. I think that these wedding barns serve a great purpose. We just think that if they're going to be serving alcohol, they should be doing it under Chapter 125.
Go through the four concerns again.
Yeah, first was the Department of Revenue.
Yes.
Right, the structure.
Your original charge.
Correct. The Department of Justice had that advisory opinion. Yeah, whether or not wineries could be serving beer without a second doorway.
Did DOJ say yes or no?
Well, they came out and said if it went to the court of law that it might be interpreted as yes, they can. However, they have to have this second doorway issue, which we think that is not being enforced across the state by the Department of Revenue because the opinion really turned three-tier upside down. And so the Department of Revenue can't even interpret the opinion. And the opinion isn't law, because it was strictly just an opinion for a client.
Advisory.
And if we'd asked the question the other way, because we had the lady that actually wrote the opinion testified in front of the committee, if we'd asked the question the other way, the outcome might have been different. So we have these wineries that are serving beer, but we're not quite sure if it's legal or not.
Would you like the committee to recommend some legislation clarifying that point?
I would love to go back to codify state law before that opinion came out.
Okay.
In other words, wineries serve wine, breweries serve beer. There are some special caveats and some permits, and that's where Chapter 125 is.
Okay, that's your second concern.
That was
number three.
The third was the unlicensed venues,
Thank you. Wedding bars.
And then the fourth was the internet sales tax on alcohol.
Internet sales tax. Would you like the committee to recommend legislation in all four of these areas, or is that not possible, given the strong views among members of your committee?
Right, so I don't think you'll see the committee come up with any legislation as it pertains to the Department of Revenue, because I think that Secretary Chandler is already handling that, and I support whatever he's going to try to do to fix what the complaints are from the industry.
And yet, that was the original charge.
That
of
was
the
original
committee.
Charge, yeah.
Okay.
And so all this kind of spawned because of the Department of Revenue, but I think they're going to address it. I have high hopes that he'll come up to, you know, with something good.
Can you get consensus on any in the other four areas?
Internet sales tax, I think the group agrees needs to be paid. And the unlicensed venue issue, like I say, I took the temperature of the committee at the last meeting, and it looks like we all agree that it needs to be, that they do need to be regulated. And so we'll see where that goes. And now, like I said, I do need to follow up with the Attorney General to see if he, you know, if he agrees they need to be regulated. And I believe he probably does once we get into it a little bit more. So we'll see what happens. It's an interesting committee. It's been enjoyable. It's been frustrating. And in the end, I don't know that we'll accomplish legislatively anything. But I think that we've got some direction for next session.
But the genesis of this was Senator Fitzgerald's SB 801.
Mm-hmm.
And you've now said you think, now that you've got DOR's attention, you won't need SB 801, correct?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, I think that the department is already self, you know, looking at themselves in the mirror. And so because if they do move certain aspects of what was over here into the enforcement part, and these people are talking perhaps with their own attorney, do we need some new agents? Maybe, in terms of enforcement and making sure that everybody's, you know, being a good player. And then if there is that one person that would be charged with this division that would report directly to Secretary Chandler, and then I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if that's what he got in mind, but I'm pretty sure that's the direction they're headed, although I haven't seen any flow charts or anything in that respect.
But three-tier, crafted after the prohibition was repealed,
yep,
is still a working model regulate alcohol sales in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I believe it's still functional. You know, we have a lot of exceptions over the years, and I think that's, here again, the explosion in the craft industry and the explosion in wineries is all a direct result. These successes are a direct result of the current three-tier system.
And they don't threaten the tavern league?
No, not at all. Not in my opinion. You know, and like I
said, part of the reason I ask is several years ago I had the lobbyists for the tavern league tell me that the industry was so hurting, quote, every tavern in northern Wisconsin is for sale, which, is that true?
Well, I would say that...
Because of the downturn in the industry?
Well, you know, but now tourism has come back again, too, the last several years. But obviously in the north we have peaks and valleys, you know. It's not like in the cities. But, we're not trying to stifle anybody, from my perspective in any way. But But what I would love to see stopped are these people that think that we're shutting down tailgating and deer camp and pontoon boat rides and inviting your neighbor over for a dinner. That is just ridiculous.
Say it loud. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Absolutely. I want to be clear about that.
Let's end on that.
All right.
Republican Representative Rob Swearin and Rhinelander, who chairs a Legislative Council Study Committee on Alcohol Sales, that had a narrow charge and got into a whole discussion of the industry. And you got two more meetings?
Yeah, two more.
And you don't know if you're going to be able to, what you'll be able to recommend.
Right. Our key word is enforcement.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You bet.
Thanks.
Thank you.